This program is intended for individuals who are blind or are unable to read physical print and is brought to you by CABVI's Audio Information Services team.
The second hour of the Cincinnati Inquirer on Mondays is brought to you through generous underwriting from the Northeastern Lions Club.
Hi, my name's Dick Dowd, and I'll be reading to you from the second hour of the Cincinnati Inquirer on this Monday, May 6, 2024. We'll be looking at the TV listings, obituaries and death notices, the horoscopes, people, what to watch, celebrity birthdays, Carolyn Hacks with advice, and some great news articles. But we're going to start off with today's TV listings. And we'll start with WLWT, that's NBC here in Cincinnati, Channel 5. Sherry is from 2 to 3 p.m., Jennifer Hudson, 3 to 4 p.m., WLTW News, 3.5 hours of regional news from 4 to 7:30 p.m., Access Hollywood from 7:30 to 8 p.m., The Voice, 8 to 9 p.m., The Voice is going to go from 8 to 10 p.m. this week, Deal or No Deal from 10 to 11 p.m., WLWT News from 11 to 11:30, and The Tonight Show goes from 11:35 all the way into Tuesday morning. So we'll go back up to here, and we have WCPO, the ABC affiliate here in Dayton. That's in Cincinnati. That's Channel 9. And we'll have General Hospital from 2 to 3 p.m., the Kelly Clarkson Show, 3 to 4 p.m., and from 4 p.m. to, again, 7:30, 3.5 hours of regional news, followed by Extra from 7:30 to 8. Jeopardy, the Masters game goes from 8 to 10 p.m., Press Your Luck from 10 to 11, WCPO Channel 9 News from 11 to 11:30, and Jimmy Kimmel Live from 11:30 on into Tuesday morning. So again, we come back to WKRC, which is the CBS station, Channel 12 here in Cincinnati. The Talk from 2 to 3 p.m., Dateline 3 to 4 p.m., Local News at 4 p.m., that take goes from 4 to 6, again, that goes from 4 to 7, 3 hours of regional news. Inside Edition goes from 7 to 7:30, and Entertainment Tonight, 7:30 to 8 p.m. The Neighbor from 8 to 8:30, Bob Hart's Abishola from 8:30 to 9 p.m. NCIS Reef Madness from 9 to 10 p.m. and NCIS Hawaii, Divided We Stand. Local 12 News from 11 to 11:30, and The Late Show from 11:30 on into Tuesday morning. And next we have CINCW 12.2. We have Equal from 2 to 2:30, and a second Equal, 2:30 to 3, 2 half-hour episodes. Jerry Springer from 3 to 4 p.m., Paternity from 4 to 5 p.m., Justice, 2 half-hour episodes of Justice from 5 to 6 p.m., and Neighbor, 2 half-hour episodes of Neighbor between 6 and 7 p.m. Family Feud from 7 to 7:30 p.m., and another Family Feud from 7:30 to 8. All American from 8 to 9 p.m., Whose Line Is It Anyway from 9 to 10 p.m., The National Desk from 10 to 11 p.m., and a second National Desk from 11 p.m. to midnight. So we have 2 one-hour episodes of The National Desk. WXIX Fox 19. Wheel of Fortune from 7 to 7. Ooh. So we got to go to Fox 19. Judge Judy, 2 half-hour episodes of Judge Judy between 2 and 3 p.m. Fox 19 now at 3 p.m. from 2 to 3 p.m. But we go beyond that. We have really four hours of regional news from 3 to 7 p.m. on Fox 19. Wheel of Fortune from 7 to 7:30 p.m. Jeopardy, 7:30 to 8. Master Chef Junior from 8 to 9 p.m. So You Think You Can Dance from 9 to 10 p.m. and Fox 19 now at 10 p.m. So you get from 10 to 11:30, 90 minutes of regional news and Friends from 11:30 on into Tuesday. That wraps up the day for WXIX 19. So we'll come back up to WCET, which is the PBS channel here. And from 2 to 3 p.m., we have Antique Roadshow. Cobra, 3 to 4 p.m., Finding Your Roots, from 4 to 5 p.m., Prehistoric Road Trip, from 5 to 6 p.m., BBC News, 6 to 6:30, and The Day, from 6:30 to 7 p.m. The PBS News Hour is from 7 to 8 p.m., from 8 to 10 p.m., 2 one-hour episodes of Antique Roadshow. Independent Lens takes us from 10 p.m. to 11:30 p.m., and Amanpour and Company starts at 11:30 and takes us on into Tuesday morning. And then we have WMyNet 64. That'll start with Karamo from 2 to 3 p.m., Maury 3 to 4 p.m., The Steve Wilkow Show from 4 to 5 p.m., Person 5 to 5:30, and then Family Feud 5:30 to 7 p.m., 3 half-hour episodes of Family Feud. And then we're going to come down here to, again, from 7 to 7:30, Big Bang Theory and Young Sheldon, 7:30 to 8. Law and Order from 8 to 9 p.m., and Law and Order, a second hour from 9 to 10 p.m. Local News from 10 to 10:30 p.m., followed by The Big Bang Theory, 10:30 to 11. Young Sheldon, 11 to 11:30, and Two and a Half Men, 11:30 on into Tuesday morning. So we'll go on up here and to the Dayton channels. Here we have NBC Channel 2 in Dayton, Ohio. Pictionary from 2 to 2:30 p.m., Jeopardy, 2:30 to 3 p.m., Dateline, 3 to 4 p.m., First at 4, three and a half hours of local and regional news from 4 to 7:30 p.m., Access Hollywood from 7:30 to 8, The Voice from 8 to 10 p.m., Deal or No Deal from 10 to 11 p.m., WLWT News from 11 to 11:30, and The Tonight Show from 11:30 on into Tuesday morning. Next, we've got CBS Channel 7 in Dayton, Ohio, and The Talk from 2 to 3 p.m., Let's Make a Deal from 3 to 4 p.m., 48 Hours from 4 to 5 p.m., and Regional News, 90 minutes of regional news and 3 half-hour segments from 5 to 6:30 p.m., and then the CBS World and National News takes us from 6:30 to 7 p.m. Bring it down here. CBS Channel 7 continues with Wheel of Fortune from 7 to 7:30. E.T. from 7:30 to 8 p.m. Neighbor, 8 to 8:30. Bob Hart's Abishola from 8:30 to 9 p.m. NCIS between 9 and 10 p.m. NCIS Hawaii from 10 to 11 p.m. Regional News from 11 to 11:30, and The Late Show, 11:30 on into Tuesday morning. Next, we have PBS Channel 14, and that's Knit from 2 to 2:30, Cooking 2:30 to 3, Guilt 3 to 4 p.m., Eleanor 4 to 4:30, Wild Kratts 4:30 to 5 p.m., Daniel 5 to 5:30, and Rosie's 5:30 to 6 p.m., Work It Out, 6 to 6:30, and Donkey, 6:30 to 7 p.m. Bring it on down here to PBS. Channel 14 continues with DW News from 7 to 7:30. Regional News from 7:30 to 8. Earth's Great Seasons from 8 to 9 p.m. Europe TVG Journeys from 9 to 10 p.m. Stephen Fry in Central America from 9 to 10 p.m. BBC World from 11 to 11:30, and DW News from 11:30 on into Tuesday morning. Next, we've got PBS Channel 16, again covering Dayton, Ohio. Antiques Roadshow from 2 to 3 p.m. World on Fire from 3 to 4 p.m. To be determined from 4 to 5 p.m. DW the day, 5 to 5:30. More to be determined between 5:30 and 6 p.m. Well, they'll tell us later. And the PBS NewsHour from 6 to 7 p.m. Coming down, BBC News from 7 to 7:30 and Europe TV from 7:30 to 8 p.m. Antique Roadshow 2, 1-hour episodes of Antique Roadshow between 8 and 10 p.m. From 10 to 11 p.m. will be announced, and the art show will take us from 11 to 11:30 p.m. And By the River will finish out the day by the river from 11:30 on into Tuesday morning. Next, we have ABC Channel 22 in Dayton, Ohio. General Hospital from 2 to 3 p.m. Barrymore, 2 half-hour episodes between 3 and 4 p.m. The Kelly Clarkson Show between 4 and 5 p.m. Judge Judy, 2 half-hour episodes between 5 and 6 p.m. Regional News between 6 and 7 p.m. Again, 2 half-hour episodes. Family Feud, 2 half-hour episodes between 7 and 8 p.m. Jeopardy, 8 to 9 p.m. Celebrity Wheel of Fortune between 9 and 10 p.m. Press Your Luck, 10 to 11 p.m. Regional News between 11 and 11:30. And Jimmy Kimmel takes us from 11:30 on into Tuesday morning. Now we've got Fox Channel 22. And Judge Mathis from 2 to 3 p.m. Maury, 3 to 4 p.m. The Steve Wilkos Show from 4 to 5 p.m. Person, 5 to 5:30. Family Feud, we've got 5:30 to 6:30. 2 half-hour episodes of Family Feud and Regional News from 6:30 to 7 p.m. Big Bang Theory from 7 to 7:30 and another Big Bang Theory from 7:30 to 8 on Fox 22.2. MasterChef Junior from 8 to 9 p.m. So You Think You Can Dance from 9 to 10 p.m. Regional News from 10 to 11 p.m. Crime, 11 to 11:30. And Family Feud takes us from 11:30 on into Tuesday morning. Next is CW Channel 26 with Karamo from 2 to 3 p.m., Jennifer Hudson, 3 to 4 p.m., Mom, 2 half-hour episodes of Mom between 4 and 5 p.m., Housewife between 5 and 6 p.m., 2 half-hour episodes, and the Goldbergs have 2 half-hour episodes between 5 and 6 p.m., Young Sheldon from 7 to 7:30. Another Young Sheldon, 7:30 to 8. All American Connections, 8 to 9 p.m. Whose Line Is It Anyway? Between 9 and 10 p.m. Regional News, 10 to 10:30. And a second Regional News from 10:30 to 11. Friends from 11 to 11:30. Oh, we got Friends from 11 o'clock all the way into Tuesday morning. Next, for you bingy folks out there, we've got ION TV Channel 43 and Criminal Minds from 2 to 7 p.m., 5 one-hour episodes of Criminal Minds, and from 7 p.m. to midnight, 5 one-hour episodes of FBI. And finally, we've got PBS Channel 54, Odd Squad from 2 to 2:30, Arthur 2:30 to 3, Baking 3 to 3:30 and House 3:30 to 4. To be announced will be between 4 and 5 p.m. Finding Your Roots between 5 and 6 p.m. BBC News from 6 to 6:30 and Kentucky 6:30 to 7 p.m. And from 7 to 8 p.m. the PBS News Hour followed by, well, they'll tell us later, 8 to 9 Lydia Celebrates America. Independent Lens from 10 to 11:30 p.m. and Regional News finishes out the day between 11:30 and midnight. And that's all we have, friends, for what's on the air tonight here in Cincinnati and Dayton. We're going to start off the second hour, this part of the second hour, with Etc. And there's 4 great features here, but we'll start with People. And Barry backs Bill to bring more services to women's health. Actress Halle Berry took on a new role on Thursday as she joined senators to push for a bill on women's health. The Advancing Menopause Care and Midlife Women's Health Act is a bill that would provide research, grants, education, outreach, and additional services to women who are experiencing perimenopause or menopause symptoms. The bill that would authorize $275 million over 5 years is supported by senators from both sides of the aisle. And Wallen's next court date set Nashville chair throwing case. Morgan Wallen's court case following his arrest in Nashville, Tennessee, for allegedly throwing a chair from a downtown rooftop will be continued later this summer. The singer's attorney, Warwick Robinson, attended an initial hearing on Wallen's behalf on Friday after the last night singer waived his right to appear in court. The next hearing was scheduled for August 15th, and King Charles and the United Kingdom royals to relinquish dozens of patronages. King Charles and other senior British royals are to relinquish patronages of almost 200 charities and organizations after a review of their association with more than 1,000 groups, Buckingham Palace said on Saturday. The review was launched following the death of Queen Elizabeth to examine all the charities and bodies to which she, Charles, and his wife, Queen Camilla, were connected either as a president or patron. Lamar doubles down with fiery Drake diss track. Kendrick Lamar has taken a page from Drake's playbook and released back-to-back diss tracks against the Canadian rapper. Following a surprise drop of his brutal Euphoria track on Tuesday, the Compton, California native released 616 in L.A. on his Instagram Friday morning. The song title is a reference to a song format Drake is known for popularizing, including 6 p.m. in New York, and from If You're Reading This Too Late to 8 a.m. in Charlotte, from his recent album For All the Dogs. And with that, we've got today's birthdays. Singer-guitarist Bob Seger turned 79. Former Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, Roma Downey, is 64 today. Singer-guitarist John Flansburgh, they might be giants, is 64. Actor George Clooney, 63. Actor Leslie Hope of 59. Guitarist Chris Shiflett from the Foo Fighters is 53. Actor Gabori Sidibe, 41. Rapper Meek Mill, 37. Actor-singer Adrian Warren, 37. Actor Naomi Scott is 31. Actor Arian Simhadri is 18. And Prince Archie of Sussex is 5 years old today. And if today is your birthday, happy birthday to you. Well, we're going to go now to What to Watch. And that all of this will be on TV tonight. And we want to start with The Neighborhood from CBS from 8 p.m. It's a season finale. And then MasterChef Junior on Fox at 8 p.m. In the season 6 finale, Welcome to the World, a night out at a Toni Braxton concert, gets interrupted when Courtney, played by Skye Townsend, goes into labor. In the sizzling semifinal episode, the remaining 4 chefs face their most daunting challenge yet, matching Chef Ramsay's pace, precision, and passion as they cook alongside him in real time. And The Voice on NBC at 8 p.m. and it's live. The top 12 artists perform live for the first time in front of coaches Chance the Rapper, Dan plus Shay, John Legend, and Reba McEntire for their spot in the live semifinal. Viewers will have the chance to vote for their favorite artist overnight. And Bob Hart's Abishola on CBS at 8:30 p.m. It's the series finale. The story jumps ahead 7 years in the series finale, Find Your Bench. A lot has changed for Bob, played by Billy Gardell, and Abishola Folake Olowofoyeku, and their friends and family as they reflect on how far they've come and consider what's most important to them as they head into the future. And NCS, it's on CBS at 9 p.m., it's the series finale. Parker and Knight, Gary Cole and Katrina Law, are suddenly locked inside an old Navy ship that's about to be sunk and turned into an artificial reef. And next, Baking Master, Paris. It's on the Food Network, 9 p.m. It's a new series. Stephanie Boswell and Ludo Lefebvre, let's call him that. Ludo Lefebvre began 10 American Bakers to Paris. I'm going to start this all over. Stephanie Boswell and Ludo Lefebvre invite 10 American bakers to Paris, where they will vie to become a baking master. With access to the most iconic shops and experts, their adventure will test their chops in technique, artistry, innovation, and flavor. And OMG Fashion, on the E! Network, 9:30 p.m., it's a new series, trailblazing style icon Julia Fox and renowned image architect Law Roach host this new eccentric fashion design competition series that pits three fashion disruptors against one another to redefine what cool is using some unlikely threads. In the premiere episode, contestants are asked to stay green and create looks from Mother Earth. And NCIS Hawaii, it's on CBS at 10 p.m., it's the series finale. CBS did not renew for a fourth season, so the season three finale also serves as the series ender. In Divided We Conquer, the NCIS team must track down a mysterious terrorist group that has just released a deadly bioweapon. And also we have Billy and Molly, an otter love story on National Geographic at 10 p.m. This heartwarming documentary shares the story of how a wild otter named Molly finds herself in desperate need when she washes up on the remote Scottish islands of Shetland. Billy and his wife Susan come to the rescue and they share their humorous and loving story through their narration. And Deal or No Deal, this is on NBC at 10 p.m. In the first season's penultimate episode, a shocking turn of events rocks the game for the final four contestants. And with that, we'll move over to... Oh, we're going to go down here to Carolyn Hacks. Always a fun time, a fun part of the second hour here from the Cincinnati Inquirer. And sisters used to be close, then one accused the other's husband of abuse. This is adapted from an online discussion. Dear Carolyn, until last year, our daughter, age 34, and her 32-year-old sister were as close as could be. We all live nearby. About 2 years ago, tension became obvious between the older sister and her brother-in-law, including nearly physical confrontation. He accused her of lashing out because she had lost control of her sister, and she accuses him of being mentally and emotionally abusive to his wife. She says mutual friends and family have questioned whether her sister is safe. We don't believe there is any merit to the idea that he is abusive. We don't believe their friends or family think there is either. He can be selfish with his time or activities, but we see these are things every marriage needs to sort out. Our son-in-law is beside himself with anger about our older daughter's statements. He has demanded to know who has said he is abusive and doesn't feel comfortable around their friends as he wonders whether they said anything. Our daughter refuses to reveal her supposed sources. We don't think there really are any, and I think our daughter is too stubborn to admit that she has gone too far. Our daughter is fracturing her sister's marriage. There is very little contact between the sisters and spouses. Our little grandchildren hardly see each other. We did sponsor some family counseling, but the sessions were basically shouting matches that went nowhere. Our daughters have resumed some communication, but we can't gather as a family. Do you have any idea how to broker this peace? This peace. Signed Anonymous. Well, dear Anonymous, I am shocked at how ready you are to sell out your own daughter. Do you really believe her capable of crying abuse without merit, of wanting to control her sister? How were they once as close as could be if she is that vindictive? If she is historically, isn't that the real problem? I am also really uncomfortable with the backing anyone who is beside himself with anger. That is not how healthy people react, and demanding to know who said what is not something kind-centered people do. accusing his accuser of wanting control, saying friends can't be trusted. These are not only first steps toward isolating your daughter from her people, but also reactions that are typical of abusers when challenged. Your daughter has lost her composure too, which is why I've asked about her history of anger and control. And I wonder about your younger daughter, whether she bows to dominant types. She's central, and you barely mention her. I hope you see how problematic your role is here. Relationship abuse persists in part because people don't recognize it. Abusers can charm people valuable to them and discredit those they perceive as threats right under smart people's noses. So, did I just describe your daughter? Your son-in-law? Both? Give a hard think to what you accuse your daughter of doing and whether that's the daughter you know, and get educated on what intimate abuse and control look like, because someone here is guilty of it and you can't afford to be wrong. And with that, we're going to move to another page here and we're going to have the horoscopes. This start with Aries, March 21 to April 19th. Mercury's alignment with wound-healing Chiron forecasts cringy conversations followed by important revelations. Taurus, April 20 to May 20. Doubting your intuition? Mercury's alignment with wound-healing asteroid Chiron causes you to question your powers of perception. And Gemini, May 21st to June 21st, offering a suggestion to the group? Don't let fears of rejection keep you silent as Mercury and Chiron allied. And Cancer, June 22 to July 22, voicing your opinion? Mercury's alignment with Chiron triggers stage fright, but applause is on the other side of this trail. And Leo, July 23 to August 22nd, caught in a lie about your knowledge and experience? Mercury's alignment with Chiron triggers major embarrassment. And Virgo, August 23rd to September 22, trusting your instincts, it may be more difficult than you thought as Mercury and Chiron align. And Libra, September 23rd to October 23rd, hesitant to confront a partner as Mercury and Chiron align, you worry that your opinions will upset them. And Scorpio, October 24th to November 21st, in need of solid health advice, don't put it off. Consult a professional as Mercury and Chiron align. Sagittarius, November 22nd to December 21st, Mercury's alignment with Chiron delivers good medicine for overcoming a creative dry spell. And Capricorn, December 22nd to January 19th, find someone to process with as Mercury and Chiron align. You need solitary talk therapy. And Aquarius, January 20th through February 18th, having the talk you've tried to avoid? Mercury alignment with wound-healing Chiron calls you to task. And Pisces, February 19th to March 20th, Mercury alignment with Chiron asks whether you've done your homework. We bet you're over-prepared. And with that, we're going to move now to another page with the obituaries and death notices. We'll start here. We have four of them today. Catherine Rachel Moore, age 96, from Sarasota, Florida, died on March 28th. And that's really all the information we have. James Gout Ragsdale, age 73, from Edgewood, Kentucky, died on May 1st. Lineman Funeral Homes has the arrangements. The service time is May 18th at 2 p.m. at the First Unitarian Church. Margaret M. Schultz, age 97, died. She's from Fort Wright, Kentucky, died on April 30th. Middendorf Bullock Funeral Home from Erlanger will make the arrangements, and the service time is May 11th at 11 a.m. in the First Lutheran Church of Cincinnati. And then Emma May Williams, age 86, of Cincinnati, Ohio. No date for her death is given, but her arrangements will be made by the newcomer funeral home, and that's all we have for her. And that's all four of the obituaries and death notices we have on this Monday, May 6, 2024. We've got some great news articles for you right now, and we'll start with NASA and Boeing confident in crewed mission and the Starliner flight test planned for May 6th, which is today. This is by Brooke Edwards of Florida Today and the U.S. Today Network, and the dateline is Cape Canaveral, Florida. It is no secret that many are visibly wary of the Boeing company, plagued by high-profile problems with some of their aircraft, on top of the lengthy time it took to get the Starliner spacecraft ready for this inaugural crew flight. The company has been making news lately, and not in a welcome way. As a USA Today aviation columnist put it recently, Boeing is rightfully under a microscope right now. However, both Boeing and NASA are firm in their confidence that the Starliner is ready for the crewed flight to the International Space Station planned for Monday. We have very robust processes, and the certificate of readiness process that we use to review everything, the design certification process, they are all very robust, says Mark Nappe, Vice President and Program Manager of Boeing's Starliner program, said during a March NASA news conference. And the proof of that is the fact that the problems we have caught in the past have been caught as part of the process. And during a recent flight readiness review, NASA Associate Administrator James Free said, "The first crewed flight of a new spacecraft is an absolutely critical milestone. The lives of our crew members, Butch Wilmore and Sonny Williams, are at stake. We don't take that lightly at all." And Boeing public image scrutinized. Don Platt, an associate professor of space systems from Florida Institute of Technology, said it's important to keep in mind that while Boeing has recently been problems with the commercial craft, Boeing Space is a different division. Boeing commercial aircraft and space divisions are managed by essentially a whole different crew of people, Platt said. And Boeing has separate divisions of management leading all the way back to the CEO, Platt said. For example, there are separate executive vice presidents for space and commercial aviation. At the issues on the airline side of Boeing, Platt also said some of the 737 MAX problems were traced back to pilots not fully understanding new software. And Boeing also has faced issues that could be tracked more to maintenance problems with the airlines rather than Boeing quality control. And neither of these issues would be a factor on the space side of the company, as Boeing is working closely with NASA, Platt said. But Platt emphasized that NASA would not agree to put its astronauts on board if it wasn't confident in success. And getting the Starliner ready? That doesn't mean there's might not be issues that arise during this upcoming flight, experts noted. This is a new aircraft, and I'll also remind you, this is a test flight. NASA's Free said during the flight's readiness review, "We have some unknowns in this mission. Being a test flight, we may encounter things we don't expect. But our job now is to remain vigilant and keep looking for issues." The first uncrewed test flight of Starliner, OFT-1, launched in 2019, and while it reached orbit, it failed to reach the ISS. The follow-up test flight, OF-2, launched in 2022, and while it met standards of docking to the ISS and successfully landing, multiple issues were discovered as Boeing crews inspected the spacecraft afterwards. And during the flight readiness review, it was stated that the issues found during that 2022 flight included the flammability of the tape used on board and parachute problems have been fixed. It was mentioned that 90% of the tape was replaced and a January drop test of the parachutes was a success. On the ground side, NASA said that during pre-launch inspections, a questionable valve on Cape Canaveral Space Force Station's Launch Complex 41, the pad Starliner will launch from, was replaced. This valve has nothing to do with the spacecraft, as it is responsible for flowing liquid oxygen into the Atlas V rocket. And Boeing, we test, test, test. During a March NASA news conference, Nappy spoke on Boeing's behalf when it comes to the readiness of their spacecraft. Our process in human spaceflight is very robust. We design around redundancy. Everything that's critical has some level of redundancy in it, so that if something fails, we have a backup system to go to, Nappy said. We test, test, test. And Starliner passes NASA requirements. NASA officials said they looked deep into the pre-flight performance of Starliner as part of the process to go forward. Spaceflight never comes without risk, yet NASA requires that risk be low. The loss of crew requirement is 1 in 270, and Boeing comes out with a slightly lower 1 in 295, according to Steve Stitch, program manager for NASA's Commercial Crew Program. Meanwhile, the loss of mission requirement for NASA is 1 in 55, and Boeing demonstrates a 1 in 57. Stitch gave these numbers during the flight readiness review. Starliner is also equipped with the ability to abort should something go wrong during ascent. And why does NASA need Boeing Starliner? Following the retirement of the space shuttle, NASA established its Commercial Crew Program. After a series of reviews, SpaceX and Boeing were selected to provide spacecraft that would transport astronauts to and from low Earth orbit. Awarded the contract in 2014, Boeing received $4.8 billion, while SpaceX received $3.1 billion. Bob Cabana, NASA astronaut, former Kennedy Space Center director, and former NASA associate administrator, said continued access to the International Space Station and low Earth orbit requires both the Dragon and Starliner to work well. I'm so looking forward to having Boeing being able to fly CFT here on May 6th, Cabana said. And we're going to jump now to what's now playing. Always a fun part of the second hour. The title is Now Playing by Brian Truitt of the USA Today Network. And in Barbie, Ryan Gosling's job is beach. In The Fall Guy, it's stunt, and he's pretty great at his gig. Gosling nicely follows up his Oscar-nominated Ken as an embattled everyman who falls 12 stories, gets thrown through glass, and pulls off an epic car jump, among other death-defying moments in this breezily delightful Fall Guy. Director David Leitch, former stunt double for a fella named Brad Pitt, revamped the 1980s Lee Majors TV show as an action comedy ode to the stunt performers who never get their due, while Gosling and Emily Blunt dazzle as likable exes who reconnect amid gonzo circumstances. I'm not the hero of this story, I'm just the stunt guy, says Colt Seavers, played by Gosling. In voiceover, as we first meet him, Colt is considered Hollywood's best stuntman, doubling for egotistical A-lister Tom Ryder, who's played by Aaron Taylor-Johnson, and fostering a flirty relationship with camera operator Jody Marino, played by Blunt. However, a stunt goes awry on his latest movie, breaking his back as well as disrupting his love life, mental health, and entire status quo. A year later, down on his luck and confidence still shook, Colt is parking cars as a valet at a burrito joint when he gets a call from producer Gail Meyer, played by Hannah Waddingham, and Jody, now an on-the-rise director, needs him in Sydney to work on her first huge sci-fi epic, Metal Storm. He gets there, and after a gnarly cannon roll in a stunt car where he takes out a camera, Colt learns that not only did Jody not ask for him, she doesn't want him around at all. Still, the old spark's there, and it turns out she does need him. Tom has befriended some shady dudes and gone missing, and Gail tasks Colt to keep Tom's disappearance on the down low and find the dude. Alongside stunt coordinator and pal Dan Tucker, played by Winston Duke, Colt uncovers a criminal conspiracy and goes undercover as Tom in a nightclub wearing Ken-esque shades and a cool coat. Gets so high he sees unicorns and teams up with a dog that only takes commands in French. And Colt is put through the ringer during his twisty hero's journey, and it's impossible not to love him through every dangerous feat because of Gosling's offbeat charisma. Before Barbie, he showed his considerable comedic talents in The Nice Guys and Crazy Stupid Love, yet marries them well here with a healthy amount of vulnerable masculinity and sublime nuance. With him, a thumbs up. The stuntman's go-to signal that everything's okay is also a way for Colt to try and hide his sensitivities. And like Leach's other movies, from Bullet Train to Atomic Blonde, Fall Guy is filled with fights, explosions, and assorted daring do for Colt to barely live through. One mayhem-filled car chase scene has Gosling's character tussling with a goon on an out-of-control trailer interspersed with Blunt singing Phil Collins' Against All Odds. It's essentially a two-hour argument for a stunt Oscar category. The movie sports a musical heart with an amusing scene between Jody and a weepy Colt set to the Taylor Swift lovelorn jam All Too Well, and it also interestingly timed considering a plot point about deepfake technology. The one downside with this sort of stunt spectacular, Colt's mission to find the narcissistic Tom and getting into hazardous shenanigans take away from his romantic stuff with Blunt. Playful and quick with the zingers, their characters rekindle their romance in awkward fashion. In one sequence, she spills all sorts of tea about their past relationship in front of their crew, and you miss them when they're not together. For 80s kids, Majors was the fall guy, and Leach's movie pays tribute in multiple ways to the show and its scrappy spirit, but Gosling makes for a fabulous heir apparent. He's not just Ken, he's also Colt, and Gosling's not done showing us the true extent of his talents. And The Fall Guy is rated PG-13 for an action and violence, drug content, and some strong language. So we're going to move along now to, our friend Donald Trump likens his rivals to Nazis. He accuses Democratic opponent of running a Gestapo administration. This is... The author here is Noena Shaku of Reuters, and the dateline is Washington, D.C. Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump accuses Democratic rival President Joe Biden of running a Gestapo administration in a private address to donors in which he also attacked prosecutors involved in his criminal indictments, according to a recording heard by U.S. media outlets. Trump, whose own rhetoric has drawn accusations of fascist tendencies from civil rights groups and other critics, made the comparison with the Nazi police in Germany's World War II regime at a donor retreat Saturday night at his Mar-a-Lago resort in Palm Beach, Florida. The comments came after Trump reprised his complaint that the multiple indictments against him were politically motivated. He has just concluded 11 days of a New York hush money trial in which he is charged with falsifying business records to cover up a $130,000 payment made to a porn star. These people are running a Gestapo administration, Trump said, according to an audio recording heard by the New York Times and the Washington Post. And it's the only thing they have, and it's the only way they're going to win, in their opinion, and it's actually killing them, but it doesn't bother me. The Trump campaign did not respond to a request for comment on the reported remarks. In a statement, White House spokesman Andrew Bates sought to contrast Biden's conduct in office with Trump's latest remark, accusing the former president of echoing fascist rhetoric, lunching with neo-Nazis, and fanning debunked conspiracy theories that they have cost brave police officers their lives. President Biden is bringing the American people together around our shared democratic values and the rule of law, an approach that has delivered the biggest violent crime reduction in 50 years, said Bates. And Trump, who held office from 2017 to 2021, faces an array of legal troubles in criminal and civil cases while he seeks to regain the presidency in the November 5 election. He denies wrongdoing in all cases. Trump has made a series of inflammatory and racist statements on the campaign trail, using violent imagery to lambast immigrants and opponents. He has warned of possible violence if he doesn't win the 2024 election and has compared immigrants to animals. In November, Biden attacked Trump for using the word vermin to refer to his political enemies, saying it echoed the language of Nazi Germany. And also last year, Trump said immigrants who entered the country illegally were poisoning the blood of our country. Some historians say such comments mirror that of autocrats who have sought to dehumanize their foes. The Trump campaign has previously rejected comparisons to Nazis, Adolf Hitler, and Italy's Benito Mussolini. The Jewish Council for Public Affairs denounced the Nazi comparison on Sunday. It's always wrong, offensive, and despicable to make comparisons like this, even more so when taken alongside the former president's long history of normalizing anti-Semitism, said Amy Spitalnik, chief executive of the Public Policy Group. It was especially heinous to use Nazi comparisons in the service of a bigoted, authoritarian agenda, she said. On Saturday night, Trump again took swipes at the federal and Georgia prosecutors working on cases against him, accusing, according to the media reports. Trump, a former New York businessman and reality television host, described Mexican immigrants as rapists and drug smugglers as he declared his candidacy for the Republican nomination in the 2016 election. He drew widespread criticism after a violent 2017 rally in Charlottesville, Virginia, for equating white supremacists with counter-protesters and saying both sides were to blame. And Biden has said the events in Charlottesville, where one woman was killed, motivated him to run for president against Trump in 2020. And again, we have, according to the United Nations, Israel is denying aid access. More than 75% of Gaza's population has been displaced as famine takes hold. This is by Michelle Nichols of Reuters, and the dateline is New York City. A top UN official on Sunday accused Israel of continuing to deny the United Nations humanitarian access in the Gaza Strip, where the UN food chief warned a full-blown famine has taken hold in the north of the enclave of 2.3 million people. While not a formal famine declaration, World Food Program Executive Director Cindy McCain said in an NBC News interview broadcast on Sunday that based on the horror on the ground, there is famine, full-blown famine in the north, and it's moving its way south. Israel has continued to enhance its efforts to boost aid in Gaza, said COGAT, C-O-G-A-T, an Israel Defense Ministry agency tasked with coordinating aid deliveries into Pakistan, into Palestinian territories. In talks between Israel and UN representatives, including at WFP, none of the entities indicated a risk of famine in northern Gaza, COGAT said in a post on X. Noting the improved situation, International Org's statement last week said the volume of goods transported to northern Gaza must be reduced since the quantities are too high in relation to the population. The head of the UN Palestinian Refugee Agency, Philippe Lazzarini, on Sunday accused Israel of continuing to deny the UN aid access in Gaza as it tries to avert famine. Only in the past 2 weeks, we have recorded 10 incidents involving shooting at convoys, arrests of UN staff, including bullying, stripping them naked, threats with arms and long delays at checkpoints, forcing convoys to move during the dark or abort, Lazzarini posted on X. Lazzarini also called on Hamas and other armed groups to stop any attacks on humanitarian crossings, refrain from aid diversion, and make sure assistance reaches all those in need. The militants claimed responsibility on Sunday for an attack that shut down the main humanitarian aid crossing into Gaza. And here are some details of the humanitarian situation. And displacement and shelter. An estimated 1.7 million people, more than 75% of Gaza's population, have been displaced, many of them forced to move repeatedly, according to the United Nations Palestinian Refugee Agency. Many have fought shelter in Rafah at the Egyptian border, where the strength of an Israeli assault has loomed large for months, stoking concerns of an even bigger humanitarian crisis. The displaced have crammed into overcrowded shelters in or near UNRWA facilities such as schools, makeshift tents, and homes that have not been flattened. The conflict has damaged or destroyed roughly 62% of all homes in Gaza, or 290,820 housing units, according to a World Bank interim damage assessment published in March. It could take some 14 years to remove the vast amount of rubble, including unexploded ordnance, according to a senior officer in the UN Mine Action Service. And a looming famine. The World Food Program says that 1.1 million people in Gaza are suffering catastrophic levels of hunger. The situation is particularly dire in the north. There has not been a formal declaration of famine in Gaza by United Nations agencies. Such a declaration hinges on a set of criteria measuring the extent of hunger suffered by a population and is assessed by the Integrated Food Security Phase Classification, an initiative of more than a dozen UN agencies, regional bodies, and aid groups. In excerpts of an interview to be aired on May 5 on Meet the Press, McCain told NBC that she hoped for a ceasefire accord so that more aid could be delivered faster. Her remarks followed comments by Deputy WFP head Carl Scow on April 25th that more aid must be delivered to avert famine in northern Gaza, despite what he described as an uptick in deliveries and some progress in accessing that part of Gaza. The Gaza Health Ministry reported on April 25 that at least 28 children, most of them no older than 12 months, had died as a result of malnutrition and dehydration since February. The World Health Organization, in report covering the period up to April 20th, said 16 to 25% of children aged from 659 months have acute malnutrition in northern Gaza, while 2 to 4% of them had severe acute malnutrition. In southern Gaza, 3 to 7% of children have acute malnutrition, it said. Toward the end of April, four bakeries had reopened in northern Gaza with WFP support, and UNRWA has called it a drop in the ocean. The senior UN humanitarian and reconstruction coordinator for Gaza, Siegfried Kog, said on April 24 the scarcity of food and other essential goods had led to a breakdown in civil order and there was no effective law enforcement. So pressure on Israel for more aid. Israel, which imposed a complete siege on Gaza in the early days of the war, has faced growing international pressure, including from its ally, the United States, to let in more aid. U.S. pressure on Israel mounted further after an Israeli attack killed 7 World Central Kitchen aid workers on April 1st. And Israel checks all aid shipments before they send it to Gaza. In early April, Israel pledged to improve aid access, particularly to northern Gaza, including reopening the Erez crossing and allowing the use of Ashdod port. The Israeli army said on April 28 the amount of aid going into Gaza would be ramped up in the coming days. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken said on April 29 there had been measurable progress in the humanitarian situation, but he said it still wasn't sufficient and said he would press Israeli officials to do more. In March, the European Union foreign policy chief said Israel was provoking famine in Gaza and using starvation as a weapon of war. Israel's foreign minister rejected the accusation, saying it had let in extensive humanitarian aid. And Israel has also accused Hamas of stealing aid, which Hamas strongly denies, and placed blame on UN agencies, calling them inefficient. And friends, that's all the time we have for the second hour of the news from the Cincinnati Inquirer. Yeah, on this Monday, May 6, 2024, I've enjoyed reading to you the TV listing, obituaries and death notices, horoscopes, people, what to watch, celebrity birthdays, Carolyn Hack's advice, and some great news from the nation and world. My name's Dick Dowd, and again, I've enjoyed reading to you on this Monday, May 6, 2024.